Well, good evening and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Yes, you better believe I am your host, and my name is John Crescito. It is April 13th, 2010. Another fantastic episode of Beyond Ghosts is on tap for all of us. All you beautiful people tuning in, thank you so, so much for doing so. We're so happy that you're here and listening to us. And I'll tell you what, tonight we have another great guest who's joining us via telephone. Once again, just like last week, babies, it's going to be like Ghost Hunter on Ghost Hunter night. We're talking to people actively involved in paranormal investigations and research and finding out the kind of stuff they get themselves involved in and what their group or team is doing it to it. And this week, we're talking to our buddy from New England Paranormal Research, Mr. John Brightman, and his group does a wonderful job of paranormal research down Massachusetts way, and of course, they also have a great event coming up next week. We're going to be talking all about that tonight on Beyond Ghosts. So tonight, we're talking to paranormal investigator John Brightman, and he reps the New England Paranormal Research Team out of Massachusetts. So let's get strapped in. We got Chef Chick. We have Willard joining us. Sky is always the limit. So tonight we're going to push it. And this is Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal.
The silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's going to go to school today. She's going to make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab.
Hey there, welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. It is your host, John Crescito. And before I have the opportunity, the in fact pleasure I'm going to have in a few minutes to introduce our exclusive guest who's joining us via telephone, let me first allow the co-hosting crew extraordinaire. That's right. There's a deuce in the house, babies. Tonight there's two. The third man ain't here. No Brandon Bristol. But the two guys that are here, my two fave people outside of myself, in this studio anyway, the opportunity to tell you beautiful listeners at home, their fans, what the hell they've been doing since last time we all met on the radio, why they've been doing it like that, and what they're getting out of it. So number one, we have to go to my main man on the trigger. We're talking Ryan, the Professor Willard, the friggin' Willardian. He's going to be making it happen. So, Ryan, how are you, man? And what's going down there, home slicer?
Pretty good, John. Had a great time Saturday night over there at the Union Hotel.
Yep.
Awesome event.
Always.
And a lot of cool people out there, and food was great.
Beyond Ghosts events are like the bomb, kid, of course. What'd you expect, pal?
I can't wait for the next one. It's going to be awesome.
Neither can I. They're going to be even more awesomer than that one at the Union Hotel.
Now, the other thing last week, we had we didn't talk about it last week on the show, but last week, Monday, we had a big Dingus Day event over at Central Terminal, which if you're in the Polish Heritage, you know, Dingus Day.
You love me some Polski, but hold on, I got to ask you now. Yeah. I love playing devil's advocate, ready, and I'm Italian-American. What the hell is Dingus Day?
Dingus Day is kind of like the Mardi Gras, but it's after Easter instead of before Easter. You know how like
that's
the party.
That's why it's a Polish holiday. It comes after.
After the fact, huh?
Yeah.
So what's all this stuff with the pussy willows and the squirt bottles, and what is that all about there, Willard?
Well, the women are supposed to hit the guys with the pussy willows, and the men are supposed to squirt the girls with the squirt guns.
You liking that, huh?
And there's plenty of Polish kielbasa
porn
to go around, plenty of beer.
See, Polish pierogies.
It's fun.
Dzień dobry.
And our good friend Marty here, he volunteered. He helped out at the terminal.
Really?
And I had to find a place to put him, so I
beer taster?
Well, close. Yeah, he was a bartender. Were you tasting the beer?
No.
No, see? He wasn't tasting the beer, but he was
tasting the kielbasa?
My parole officer might be listening.
So. Say that again. Hold on. Take two. Take two, Marty. You're what?
My parole officer might be listening.
You know what? That's the best treatment. If he can handle it without wanting to drink it,
yeah,
then he's cured. Right?
I would say that's a pretty good idea.
Part of my community service sentence, too.
He only had 5 gallons of beer, but
I had to volunteer.
Better than 10, right? I mean, come on, Marty. Your last name is Chef Chick.
True.
Yeah. So you should be celebrating Dingus Day like every day.
He was.
Right? Not every day. Well, you didn't want to be Dingus Day. It'd be like Dingus Year or something like that.
It was crazy, though. It had to be like 4,000 people there.
Oh, there was more than that. There had to be.
Yeah.
I'm coming next year, guys. Next year was
1,000 cases of Tisky.
Okay, listen. Now, what did you say, pal? It's a Christian show.
Tisky.
Oh, okay. I'd like to grab me some Tisky.
Yeah.
I live this, pal. Okay, so very good there, Will Ardian. So that was Dingus Day, and you had a good time, and I'm going to come next year.
Definitely.
You can Dingus Day.
And it's really not celebrated anywhere else.
Sir Kielbasa.
Not too many places out of Buffalo celebrate. I think Cleveland, Chicago maybe, but no one else really in here knows a Dingus Day.
Not like they do here in Poland. Buffalo.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So it's an actual holiday from the nation of Poland?
Correct.
It's the day after when Lent stops.
Yeah, after Easter, you're supposed to sacrifice for Lent, you know, don't eat meat.
And then cut loose on Dingus Day?
And then it's like Easter season's over, so let's all... Hell's breaking loose again.
It's like Mardi Gras. You party right up until Lent starts. Yeah. This you party after Lent stops.
Okay, but at least you're partying.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Either way, that's like titsky. All right, guys. So thank you there, Will Ardian. Now, Chef Chick, you're not off the hook, man. What's going on with you since last we met on the radio, man? What is happening in the world of Martin Chef Chick?
Trying to stay out of trouble.
Obviously. How's that working for you, though? All right?
Good. I was able to handle myself at the Dingus Day event.
Okay.
And at the Union Hotel. Okay. Excellent time.
I'm very proud of you.
Excellent time. But other than that, just getting ready for another hell of a busy year with what we got going on. I don't know. We got any other events we got to announce here? I mean, it seems like every week
we're going to announce a lot of stuff. Well,
we did announce that our Eagle House event coming up at the last at the Union Hotel event. So we're doing that Eagle House on June 12th, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is June 12th, 2010. Yeah. We're returning to the haunted and historic Eagle House in Williamsville, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all that information, like everything else, babies, is found at beyondghost.com, the events page. Boom.
And Marty's writing in his calendar right now.
Yes. I'm usually the last to know. I'm just as shocked as all our fans when we're at an event. Oh, we got another event coming up?
You know, we have a guest online, guys.
Oh, really?
A pretty cool guy, too.
Okay, let's go.
If he's still there, he might have been like,
Enough about us.
Weirdos, click.
What about you, John? How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Hear how you are.
Yeah, well... I'm hanging in there. I'm Freddie Midland. Can't really complain.
You're off your Ritalin? Is that what you said?
No. I'm on my Ritalin, but I'm fair to Midland, which means I'm kind of in the middle there. We're okay?
Yeah, we're good.
Here's some EVPs in the background, pal. This is Marty's stomach again. Ooh, kielbasa. Ooh,
That was paranormal.
Okay. Mm. So I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I got a lot of cool stuff going on, but this is a paranormal talk show like none other, so we need to talk to some people about paranormal-related stuff.
And Brandon says hi.
Telepathically? Wow, that's paranormal.
No. What kind of psychic connection you two have?
It's psychic?
I'm hoping it's just psychic.
Very special connection.
It's not like they're Siamese twins, huh? Whoa, roll of quarters in your pocket? Whoa. Okay, so, without further ado, if you gentlemen are ready, I'm ready to cut this umbilical cord here and get going with our guest.
Hey, I'll literally be cutting an umbilical cord in a few weeks.
Yeah,
I didn't want to go there, but I kind of got caught up. I'm like, damn.
I'm waiting
Baby
for
joke,
that.
Damn.
I'm waiting for that. Oh, so Ryan, what did you name your kid?
Right.
Like you throw me underneath the bus every week.
Oh, yeah.
So what are we going to name him?
We got a couple names picked out.
We're going to name him Shirley. Hey,
what do you think of the Sabres' first-round matchup?
Against Philly?
He can't say, though. Yeah. He can't really say because, remember, the NHL warned us already once. Mm. We're under contractual agreement not to say anything because they're not sponsoring us, people.
Okay.
Go ahead. Let's try to get that one out there. FCC bleeps. Okay, so you guys ready to go?
Yes. I'm ready.
Okay, so without further ado, we've done it before, and tonight is another one of our patented Ghost Hunter nights. We're like Ghost Hunter on Ghost Hunter, and we're talking to our buddy, Mr. John Brightman, who reps a group out of New England known as New England Paranormal Research. John, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Doing great, man. How the hell are you?
Doing great. Getting ready for this event we got coming up. It's going to be a good weekend for us, and hopefully a lot of people will come out and join us and have a good time checking out the history of the Freetown State Forest and the Bridgewater Triangle.
Sweet.
We like the way that sounds. We're definitely going to touch on that event a little bit more before we get to the top of the hour, but really fast from jump, before I have you introduce yourself in your own words and talk about your background, when exactly is this event taking place? Just give me the dates.
April 16th through the 18th.
Oh, man, that just gave me the chills, pal. That sounds nice. Nice weekend event, huh, New England? Can't beat it.
That's right.
Hey, that's coming up. That's like 3 days, four days.
Yes, that's right, coming up.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's That's right, pal. It's coming up next week. So let me ask you this now. So, John, in your own words, like I said, we want you to take the first part of the interview. You got to see Marty's face. Marty is like, he wishes he could be there, man. So maybe we'll get Marty a couple tickets. But take the first part of the interview there, John Brightman, and please introduce yourself to the listeners of Beyond Ghosts. Tell us a little bit about your group and what exactly got you, my friend, into the paranormal in the first place. Boom.
All right. Well, I've started this group about 2 years ago. We're a rather new group.
Uh-huh.
We got into this. I recently moved into my house. I'd always been partial to watching the shows, been into it, watching to see what's going on at this place, that place. It really, intrigued me to watch. But I was never wanting to do the actual research of investigating or anything like that till about 2 years ago when I moved into this house. We were putting on a big deck in the backyard, and we had to dig out quite a bit of dirt because my yard sloped. And needless to say, we ended up finding some bones, a full skeleton, skull, arms, legs, everything. Well, I had to call the cops, report it, and needless to say, after they came, took it away, about 2 months went by, they had called me and said that they had found out it was Indian bones.
Oh, wow.
We had an actual war take place in our area, and within about 5 to 10 miles of us, it was quite a big war. They say it's actually the biggest war that happened in the United States.
Really?
Because of the amount of deaths that happened in it. They say that there was an actual military base, whether it was on my land, my neighbors, or the guy behind us, one of us. We live right on a main river where Titan Rock was found. And that's a big historical site around here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after we found the bones and they told us what it was, we started having weird things happen in the house. Closet doors opening and shutting, cupboards opening and shutting. Sounds like our main door to come into the house was slamming shut at night, which is impossible because it's got a deadbolt lock.
Huh.
So we didn't really know. I called my brother-in-law, asked him to come over. He's been into the paranormal a lot longer than me, gone investigating with such people as Chris Baranzano, Jeff Belanger, a few other guys from up this area.
Nice.
And he brought over his equipment. We did an investigation for 4 to 5 hours, left the recorders running all night. Needless to say, the next day when we listened to him, we got two very good EVPs. One of them said, "Welcome to Caron," and that is, they believe, in either an Italian word or a Portuguese word for welcome to my military base.
Wow.
And so that was a little weird that we got that. And then we also got the EVP. My partner had asked, "Are you male or female?" And right after that, you hear, "I'm a guy." So it kind of was a little freaky to get that, plus with everything that was going on. And from there, it's just taken off. We decided to start a group and, start investigating because we both loved it. We got a couple of good people involved, from one from another group that had left, and a couple other people, and we formed our group, and we've been going with it for now for about 2 years.
Perfect. Good on you, man.
Now, your story sounds a little bit like a movie I saw called Poltergeist with the Indian bones in the backyard. You still live there?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And what's the activity like now? Is it kind of quieted down, or you still get...
No.
What's going on?
We're actually going to be shooting a TV show here over the next couple of weeks. I can't let it out which one it is. Actually, I can let that out. I can't let it out when it is. We're going to be doing The Haunted here.
Okay.
Really?
Paul Johnson.
Sweet.
He's a good friend of mine. He's going to be coming in with the TV show and doing it. And I mean, just as of 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend came flying down the stairs at 1 a.m. while I was on the computer, shaking and screaming. Something had rolled her over on the bed, held her down, was covering her mouth, and she could not move, could not scream, could not do nothing. And at the same time, our stepdaughter let out a screech like you would think somebody was killing her with a knife.
Oh, my gosh.
And something was in her room at the same time.
Huh. Have you found that the activity has increased, too, when you actually went and started investigating? Because we kind of found, like, through our course of investigating...
Our research?
Yeah, that... When you do make contact and they realize that you can communicate with them, they tend to come out more, so to speak,
and interact.
Yes, that is absolutely true. I found that in other cases. I can't say so much in this case because there's also another catch behind this. Uh-huh. We found out after one night we were sitting on the couch and our refrigerator door decided to open shut by itself. Mm-hmm. The kids saw it. The kids ran upstairs. About 10 minutes later, the daughter comes down and says, I have a story I need to tell you. And needless to say, we found out that she played with a Ouija board.
Oh, yeah. Oh boy.
And when she told us the story, it's a long story, so I can give you a brief history on it because I don't want to go too far on you guys. But
being the ramp,
basically, she's been being talked to in our dreams at night, been being touched, pushed by supposedly two females, one that has been reincarnated, one mm-hmm. that's looking for her. Right down to the point of the color house she was supposedly burned in, to the shutters, to the fence. I mean, it's really elaborate. Now, we're talking a 13-year-old girl that's repeated the story to numerous people and never changed
right. One
piece of fact.
Huh.
So I have to believe it's true. And, you know, when I think of the Ouija board part of it, there's yeah. a chance that she could have played with it, like she said, and brought and opened something up. Who mm-hmm. knows? Mm-hmm. There's also the chance that it's from, you know, what we found. It's up in the air right now. We don't know what it is.
Now, are you looking to have your house cleansed? Are you planning on living there? Do you want the spirits gone? Are you just trying to live with them? Or what's your outcome you want of this?
I'm living with them until the TV show's done. When we get done shooting it, Kyle's going to come through. Kyle Johnson's going to come through. And bless the house and try and get rid of it for us.
Okay.
If he's for some reason unsuccessful, then we're going to look somewhere else to get it done and try and get rid of it.
Right.
So you
because I mean, obviously, we don't want to leave. We love it here, but we got to find out what's going on and get rid of it, just for the safety of my stepdaughter and my girlfriend.
Gotta be safe. Yeah.
Now, is this a new build or is this how old is the house that you live in?
I'd say less than 12 years old.
Okay, so it's fairly recent.
Any reports from you were able to get a hold of any of the previous owners of the home and find out if there was any activity when they were there?
Yep, there was one owner before us and nothing.
Wow. Hmm,
so maybe it did have something to either, like you said, to do with the bones or the Ouija board.
Exactly.
Well, those bones were removed off property. Where did they put them? Where are they?
They're up at Harvard in Massachusetts. That's where the person that did the doctor that did the research on them, that's where they are now, and that's where they're staying.
Cool.
In a cemetery, or?
No, they're actually in his office in a box, or in some kind of box in, like, a collector's.
Wow.
For them
so
to
they're
research.
Still not at rest, huh?
No. Wow. And you also got to wonder,
off, pal.
If that house was built 12 years ago, when that house was built, I wonder if there was any incidents of anything else being found as they dug the foundation out for the house that you're in.
According to the police, no.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what about before? I mean, it was a sand pit, so they could have been digging stuff out and not realize.
Exactly. I mean, and also if you're using those big bulldozers and stuff, who knows what you shatter. You know, you figure how old those bones are. And also, too, you know, I've heard stories of people doing construction work or building, and they come across stuff like you came across, and they don't want to stop what they're doing because obviously then a lot of tests and surveys and studies have
money.
To be done. They're like, you know what? Just freaking bury over it.
Waste
you know what I mean? They just don't want to. They want to keep it private because they don't want to cost more money for them to get what you know the construction done.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
all right. So, John. So, as far as the entities or the spirits in your house, do you have like a number of how many are actually in there? You think?
We believe there's two adults. And we believe there's two children.
Hmm.
Now, I've also been told by a few people that if the Ouija board was used and it did open something up, they could be lying to make my stepdaughter feel a little comfortable in saying that they're friends when they actually could be adults that are meaning harm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little new to me. You know, we've never dealt with this before with the whole Ouija board aspect. So, yes, I'm a little skeptical about it. But I also got to take it with precaution and listen to what people have to say, too.
Right. And as far as where you live now, do you have neighbors that are in a close proximity to your house or no?
Yep. I have one within a baseball throw of my house.
Your neighbors ever mention anything weird going on around those parts?
Nope, nothing.
Hmm. They might not want to tell you, huh? Welcome to Cuesta Verde, pal. That's where Chef Jig's moving.
Yeah, if they can't cleanse the house, we might just buy it.
Be our new studio, pal.
Yeah.
That's right. There you go.
They could open that up into a new tourist attraction like a lot of these places.
Ooh, there you go.
Me. me. If I could, I would.
Paranormal tourism.
My girl would kill me.
What do you guys say?
Take your first break?
Yeah, we might as well take a break. So, John Brightman, do me a favor. Hang on my line there for 1 second. We're going to take our first commercial break of the evening. We're talking to our buddy John from New England Paranormal Research, team out of New England, obviously. And we're talking about ghosts tonight, baby. So we'll be back in a minute. Crescido, Chef Chicken Willard, this is Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal.
Inside this room, all of my dreams become realities, and some of my realities become dreams.
Hey, welcome back to Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal. Still your host, John Crescido. I'm here with Ryan the Professor Willard, Martin Martini Chef Chick Chef Chickles. Can't spell it, but I can freaking say it pretty sweet. We're talking to our buddy. We're talking to our buddy from New England Paranormal Research. We're talking to Mr. John Brightman. John, you still with us?
Absolutely. I'm right here.
All right, man. We opened it up tonight talking a little bit about your background, about how your group got started. And now we're going to talk about some of the specific casework that you guys have been involved in. I mean, obviously, you guys have been around for a couple of years. I'm sure you've done your fair amount of ghost hunting, correct?
Absolutely.
And, like, we're ghost hunters too, brother man, so we know how it is. Some cases or investigations are going to stick out in your mind more than others. We're going to give you the next couple of minutes, let you open up here on the floor and tell us about some of the more noteworthy stuff, the stuff that sticks out in your head as far as the ghost hunts or investigations you've been on. So take it away, John.
Well, I'd have to say the first one, the number one evidence-wise that takes over in my mind is it's a private residence slash business. A guy contacted us, says, look, something's going on. I need you to have it checked out. So we went there, we checked it out. Big garage, he's a mechanic, and it's a tractor-trailer truck. Mm-hmm. So he's got a good-sized garage. We went there, we set up our camera systems, and we ran with it. And we had been there until about 1 in the morning, not getting anything. And all of a sudden, me and my co-founder said, well, let's go back over in the house building mm-hmm. where his office is and there's a residence above it. We said, let's go over there, get our stuff, and just see if anything's going on.
Right.
We walked in, we started getting K2 hits. So we called the other group, said, break everything down, but we're going to stay over here for a few. We'll let you know. We started with a K2 session that lasted about 2 hours.
Wow.
And we have part of it up on our website just to show people. It's probably the best K2 session I have ever seen, ever been involved with, I guarantee that.
Yeah.
We got down to such specifics that we had to call the owner of the business back, have him sit down and ask questions that we wouldn't know just to make sure it was who we thought we were talking to.
Yeah.
And we ended up finding out that it was his ex-wife who was murdered. They believe she was. They could never prove it. We found out that it was her and that she was murdered.
It wasn't him, was it?
What's that?
He wasn't the murderer, was he?
No. They had split up, and she was living with another guy, and they believed there was foul play in it. When they found her, she was laying head down in a puddle of blood, but they could never prove that he did it because he had such a tight alibi. But according to what the K2 session led us to is that he did do it. You know, that's not going to prove anything to help resolve that situation.
Right.
But, I mean, on this video, just to make sure, like I said, we had him come in and he asked, you know, is this your desk that I'm sitting at? It wasn't. It never lit up. He moved to another one, and he asked the question again, and it was her desk, and the thing went lit right up to red and wow. stayed solid red. Just to show people that we were talking to somebody and it wasn't just by chance, we right. asked it to do the different colors on the K2,
yeah.
light it up to orange and hold, and it lit up and held until we said thank you, and it would drop to nothing. Huh. And then we'd call out another color, and it would just go up to that color, not a little over, not a little below, right to that color.
Wow.
So that was a pretty cool incident. We're the only group that's allowed into Paul Dever State Hospital, which is a old insane asylum here in Taunton, Massachusetts.
You've heard of it.
We got very, very lucky to be able to get into there from me knowing people. And, I mean, it's huge. It's 96 acres of land.
Yeah.
There's 37 buildings on this place. It was own self-contained city. I mean, they had a dentist, they had the doctors there. Once you went there, you stayed there. It was built in 1878 or 79. It was shut down in 1992. So it was around for quite a while. The government took it over in the 40s during the World Wars.
Yeah.
And used it as a POW camp.
Oh.
It's been used for a lot of things, but there's 7 to 8 miles of tunnels that are underneath all this property that interact to, that connect to each building. And we've been there now numerous times. I've got to say 7 or 8 times. A couple of them even during the day. And we've gotten everything from EVPs that are demonic, saying that they're going to kill us.
Oh, man.
To being touched and pushed, to seeing a white figure of what looked to be like a female nurse go walking. My cousin was laying in the cadaver box doing an EVP session. Three of us were standing outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
We heard the double doors, like bar doors, swinging back and forth. Two of us poked our head out. We both looked at each other when we saw what walked by that looked like a white figure wearing one of those funny paper hats with a long dress on. We all chased after it, went opposite ways around the building. There was nothing there.
Sheesh.
It's a phenomenal, phenomenal place, and unfortunately, it's going to be torn down this year.
Oh, man.
I mean, I wish I had the funds to buy it, because I would just get it and, you know, do like everybody else does now, let people
yeah.
come in, restore it, and let people come in to investigate it.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
So when are they going to tear this thing down?
They're staying sometime towards the end of the year. What it is there's an industrial park right beside it,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to get somebody from the industrial park that's interested in it to make the industrial park bigger.
Right.
So basically, they're going to go through with a bulldozer, push all the buildings down, and just try and cave in what tunnels they can.
Yeah. Okay.
To make it palatable for the other companies coming in and purchase the property.
Right.
Yep. Yep. Mm.
So what I'm going to ask you, though, so we have to the end of the year. So if we wanted to come out and visit you Beyond Ghosts, could we go in there with you?
Absolutely. I'd love to take you in there.
Wow. Road trip. Famous last words, Brightman, because I'll tell you what, we do that kind of stuff, my friend.
Well, that would be great. I mean, you guys will have a blast in there. I'm telling you, you go in there, whether it's day or night, it doesn't matter, and you're going to get phenomenal EVPs out of there.
Okay.
Matter of fact, about 3 weeks ago, a group locally from here that I know, one of them is a dispatcher for a local police department. He owns his own group, and he asked me, he said, could you take me there? I said, yeah. So we went up during the day, walked around the grounds, went into a few buildings with him, and he wanted to check out the tunnels. So we headed down in, and there was about 4 or 5 of us there. We headed down into the tunnels, and we got down in there, and we weren't down there for about 2 seconds when somebody said, did you hear that?
Uh-huh.
And two of us looked at each other, and it almost sounded like if somebody turns on a light when they pull the cord, you know, it's got the little click to it.
Right.
That's what it sounded like. Well, there's no electric in this place, and there's definitely no lights like that.
Hmm.
And so we all said, yeah, we heard it. We had our recorders running. We quickly played them back, and two out of the three recorders caught it.
Right.
We decided to do an EVP session. 5 minute one, we got a little bit of hit on the K2, nothing crazy, but they ended up getting a voice that did say, go away, get out of here.
Wow.
And like I said, we were down there for 5 minutes tops, and we started getting hits right away. I mean, it's phenomenal. The place is just, some of the history, I mean, they lined, just to give you an idea of how bad they treated their patients at this place, and we've talked to two different nurses that work there. At one point, they were so overwhelmed with patients that they were putting them head. Now you got to picture these buildings are L-shaped buildings, 3 floors high, and on each side, each side of the L-shape has their own bathroom. Uh-huh. The bathrooms had 2 shower stalls, 2 toilets, 1 urinal, and 2 sinks. And what they would do is they would line up people head to toe, 6 inches apart, another one head to toe. And they would do that for 100 to 150 people on each side.
Wow.
To share those 2 shower stalls and everything. Mm.
That ain't cool.
So each building approximately had somewhere between 600 to 800 people.
Oh, my goodness. Just imagine that, the deplorable conditions, huh?
That was like the Terminal Dingus Day with all with the 5 porta-potties we had.
Oh, yeah, yep. Those are awful.
there's private segregation rooms down in the tunnels.
Yeah.
We actually got to see, they left everything there. It's amazing. It's almost like they just, something happened and they got up and left. Because there's beyond evidence left there, from tape recorders to DAT tapes to files and filing cabinets of patients' records, everything. And we've looked at some of them, and I mean, it's amazing that some of these patients were there for hurting somebody, for hurting themselves, whatever.
Yeah.
And they become, I don't know, upset with the nurse. They bite the nurse. There's no warning. They yank their teeth out and then threw them in one of those chambers for 2 weeks with no food and water.
Seriously.
And that came straight out of a nurse's mouth. Oh, shit.
They yanked the teeth out of the patient?
Every single tooth. That sucks. Every tooth.
What?
Jeez.
Wow, that's like crazy archaic stuff. That's brutality.
What would these do? They peed on one of the nurses.
Cut their wanker off, huh?
Every single tooth. They just yank them out, and then after they were done, throw them down there in one of those segregation rooms.
We're coming to see you this summer, pal. We're coming to see you, John Brightman.
Yeah, I think I've seen a movie like that.
Shit. I'm not going to sleep for a week. But don't worry, when you get a chance, John, you're going to come up to Buffalo. We're going to let you have the keys to the Central Terminal. We're locking you in for a couple days. We'll pay it back.
That would be awesome. I'm actually looking forward to trying to get up there to go to the new place, Rolling Hills.
Yeah, we've heard of it.
Yeah, I would love to get. That's the place I really, really want to get up.
We know some people.
Good stuff about it. So
it's a great place. It's one of our favorites. You know what? Great new owners. We know some people. You get a hold of us privately, we'll try to work something out with you, pal.
We also know of another location that's almost, it's eerily similar to that place that you have up there. It's an old tuberculosis hospital, sits on 300 some odd acres.
Yeah.
30 some odd buildings. It's just kind of like the same thing what you guys got up going up over there.
Out in Perrysburg, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Buffalo State Hospital that you're talking about?
He's thinking
of. No, not the psych center in the city of Buffalo. This is out on the outskirts of the city of Buffalo. It's an old tuberculosis hospital, and it's kind of similar to what you have going up there, where there's a whole bunch of outbuildings.
Yeah, we could take you out there, too. If you do come up or hit the terminal with us, and we do the Rolling Hills thing, when you come on up here, hopefully this happens this year, we'll take you out to the other place we're talking about, too, the old TB sanatorium.
That would be great. You know, we've done other things like
networking.
This. You know, we've done the Lizzie Borden House. Actually, just this past weekend, we've been to the Wizzy Borden House before, but a friend of mine's group from Maryland, Prison Maryland, came up here, Big Jim Jones, and he rented the house out for 2 days, him and his group. Well, good they group. Invited us out there, so we went out there, and we actually got on videotape. I couldn't believe it, and I got to actually send it to him. The girl, one of his investigators, started saying she felt sick. She started crying. I mean, to the point she almost threw up right in front of us. She started saying she felt feelings of dread, that she was sorry, sorrow, all that involved. We got her to move seat. She cleared up right away.
So
we found it a little weird, so I kept, for some reason, I kept my camera on her. About 10 seconds later, I'm looking at my camera, the viewfinder, and I'm looking at it. All of a sudden, I see, now she had on those cargo pants with the little tassels by the pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw them stand straight up, tie themselves into almost like bunny ears, and started moving around.
Get out of here.
I swear to God, at that point, when they started moving, you hear her on my camera say, "Something just tugged my pants."
That's out of line.
I found the camera, watched it 3 times myself before I said anything to anybody.
Yeah.
And then everybody that was in the group right then and there, what happened. And it was just amazing. It was a shock. I couldn't believe it, that we saw that happen.
Oh my gosh. Mm. What do you say to that, pal? Wow.
It's crazy.
Pretty much. I mean, that's some of the best evidence that I've gotten out of that house. And like I said, the second time we've been there and the first time we were there all night. So, yeah. You know, there's definitely some good stuff that we've gotten.
Other than your house, what would you say is the most scariest location you've ever been to?
Where's my Lizzie Borden?
Oh, my bad. We go back to Lizzie Borden.
Paul Dever State Hospital.
Really?
Hmm.
Just downright scary, huh?
Yeah, just because of some of the stuff that we've seen. My brother-in-law getting pushed and touched down there in the tunnels, and I mean, at the same time, he got his hand pushed and touched. He was holding the digital recorder, and he says, "My hand just got pushed," and you see it got pushed as we turned quick and still in motion. We played it later back on the recorder and listened.
Yeah,
and you hear, "I told you so. Watch out." So, you know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, you're underground about 10 feet with no light down there in tunnels that I'm 6'6". I have to bend quite a bit to walk around in these tunnels. And, I mean, it gets a little bit to your mind, especially when you break up into groups of two versus when we first go in and have eight and split up into four and then break down again into twos after that. It gets to you a little bit.
Sure it does, I bet. What's up, Willard?
This hospital, can you Google it? Is there information on the web on this thing?
Oh, absolutely. There is.
Pictures and stuff?
Google Paul Dever State Hospital or Paul Dever State School, one or the other. It should come up under either way.
How do you spell Dever?
What's that?
How do you spell Dever?
D-E-V-E-R.
Okay.
And you can also go to my website. We got tons of pictures under the photo section of stuff, you know, showing what the tunnels
look. What's the address, pal?
These guys left, they have a one building that's their shoe factory and, like, wheelchair factory where they made the shoes and fixed the wheelchairs and things like that.
Right.
They left the giant lathe, like three or four of them, just sitting right in there. We got pictures of them just sitting there. I can't imagine what these things are worth value-wise just to some collector that would restore them.
Yeah,
never mind how much it would be to junk them because of how old and heavy they are.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your website where we can check this stuff out there, John?
It's neparanormalresearch.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Got that one down cold, my friend.
Yep.
All right, so hold on, John. We're going to take our second break of the evening. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about this great event you have coming up next week. So, John Brightman, New England Paranormal Research, please hang on the line there. We're taking a fast break, man. It's
going to
be Crescito, Chef Chick Willard. Once again, we're taking a break, baby. We'll be back in a minute. This is Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. Go check out beyondghosts.com. Be back in a jiff.
Okay, folks, just like I promised, it's now time for that huge announcement that is going to be definitely revolutionizing Western New York paranormal history. They said it could never be done because it hadn't been done before by anybody else, but let me tell you what your buddies from Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal have accomplished. We are announcing the first ever, I repeat, the first ever historic public ghost hunt of a place that many, if not all, enthusiasts in Western New York and beyond consider haunted. We're talking about August 13th, 2010. That's right, Friday the 13th, folks. Join us at the haunted and historic Shays Theater, downtown Buffalo. That's right, folks. We're making it happen, first time ever in history. For all of you beautiful people out there, join us at Shays Theater, August 13th, 2010. More info, and I'll tell you what, these tickets, babies, are limited. Go to beyondghosts.com and look at the events page, beyondghosts.com, and we'll see you in August in Buffalo at the haunted and historic Shays Theater, first ever. Be there, be square.
to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Hell yeah, it's your host, John Crescito. I'm still here with Ryan Willard, the Professor of the Willardian. I'm still here with Martin, what's your last name?
Chef Chick.
Chef Chickles, the Martini Man's here. We're talking to our buddy, John Brightman. Now, John, we talked about your introduction to the paranormal, how your wonderful group started. We talked about some of the key cases, investigative-wise, you yourself have been part of. Now we're taking this part of the interview. We're going to talk about this event you have coming up. Sounds like a great event to us. It looks great on paper, but now in your own words, tell us more about the event, what you're trying to do with it, the celebrities that are going to be involved, and what investigations you have. They sound great, brother man. Take it away.
Well, thank you. No, we're, I mean, you guys are from New York, so you guys probably know a little bit about the area. There's never really been an actual convention with speakers slash investigation type thing done in Massachusetts at all. I mean, certain other groups have done their talks up in the Berkshires and different places up there. Other groups have had just an investigation of certain locations,
right.
Maybe bring one guest speaker along with them on the investigation. It's never been an actual paranormal conference.
Right.
So even though we're new, we wanted to put something on like that. And there's never, ever been one done about the Bridgewater Triangle. Hmm. We've gone to other ones that people have talked about it, but they've never actually focused on the Bridgewater Triangle. And there's so much history to learn about that. So we decided that back in December, we decided we were going to put one out sometime in the spring. And I think it was around January 1st, we said, all right, April 16th through the 18th, sounds good to me. And me and my co-founder talked about it, and we decided to go with it. So we put together, we kind of put out there on our website and on our Facebook and MySpace, we gave the people a wish list of who they'd like to see.
Yeah.
At a convention, and we went from there. We weeded out the people that we knew there was no way we could afford. As you guys know, some of these speakers get paid big money.
It's ridiculous.
And, yes, they do.
We just worked it down from there, and we came up with a good list of speakers, people that, you know,
Martin Sheffield
have something to do with the area, and some people something that just to bring names in.
Right.
So we ended up, we put it together, and we called it the first annual Freetown Paranormal Conference, and we got three great nights of investigation. People are able to do an 8-hour investigation of the Freetown State Forest,
which
is inside the Bridgewater Triangle. It's so much history with the Freetown State Forest, and I mean, no matter what you Google on it, you can find it just about anything out from actual murders of a cult group that was out there to a woman being found bound to a tree by just a kid being a kidnapped victim and bound to the tree so she wouldn't, you know, the guy wouldn't get caught.
Yeah.
To everything from zombie reporting to puckwudgies to Indian spirits being watched walking around. I mean, there's everything. Mob murders out there. People being thrown off and buried in this water area called the Wedge, just so they'll never be found again. There's so much history out there. So one of our first guests that we wanted to get was Alan Alves, which is the former Freetown police detective in the town of Freetown. He dealt with the Carl Drew murders, which just a brief history on that. He was a pimp, and he was also the leader of a cult that was in the state forest. They built a shack out in the middle of the state forest, and they would hold their rituals there certain times of the year, certain days. And needless to say, if one of his prostitutes didn't perform and make him money, he would bring them up there, use them as the sacrifice that night, and he would gut them from sternum to neck.
What?
Jesus.
And just cut them right open.
This guy's speaking at your conference?
To three different women, and then finally he was caught after the third woman.
Oh, okay.
He's actually in jail right now, appealing his thing, and there is a chance he might get out. It's been all over the news over the past year that there is a chance he might get out.
Well, be on Ghosts.
People are starting to say that it was his partner that did the actual killing, not him.
You think he would speak at your conference?
No.
You wouldn't want him there, John Brightman. Tell him the Ixnan speaks there.
No, I definitely wouldn't want him there.
I don't blame you.
So we got Alan to come in, and around here, people know that he doesn't do very many conferences, anything like that. I've known him for a long time because of growing up here in the town of Freetown. So I asked him, He was great to do it, and I can't wait for people to come and hear what he has to say. We also were able to get Keith and Carl Johnson.
Oh, cool.
Two great demonologists, worked with ghost hunters before. They're going to come in. They're going to both be on separate days giving their intake on demonology and their experiences with ghost hunters and also their personal experiences that they've had. So that will be good.
Absolutely.
We got Shannon Sylvia from GHI coming in. Can't wait to work with her. She seems like a great, great person.
She's sweet.
Heard a lot of good things about her. Unfortunately, she wasn't on the show very long, but a lot of people do know her, and I think that'll be a good person to have around and take out investigating. Most of these celebrities are all going to come out investigating each of the nights with us.
Wow.
Perfect.
So also have Gene Riley and Susan Slaughter from Ghost Hunters Academy.
Yes.
Out. Okay. Both them will be here. Now, they're not...
Crybaby and the Hottie.
They asked to participate in the tours at night and the investigations at night. They're actually going to come out with us, drive some of the vehicles. See, that's the thing a lot of people don't know is we're actually supplying rental trucks, rental SUVs,
what?
To car everybody that paid for a tour all around to these different spots to investigate.
That's
because
fat.
It's a 200-square-mile forest. So to get to different location to different location to walk, it would just be absurd, and people wouldn't be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured we'd get rental vehicles and take them all around. So we got them, and then we also have Chris Stevens, who was one of the paranormal researchers of an old, I have to say it's probably the first paranormal show that was ever on TV.
Fear.
It was MTV's Fear.
Love it, brother. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The originator.
He was actually one of the paranormal researchers that would go and find the locations to stick the kids in.
That's cool.
So,
nice.
You know, she's going to be there talking about her book she just wrote, and
like
she's going to be talking about basic paranormal equipment, you know, stuff for other groups that are just getting started, what they should look for, do's and don'ts, things like that. And then we also have Mike Baker, which is from Gravity Media. He just did John Zaffis' movie about the haunted museum that he has.
Creepy stuff,
and he's worked with cats, developed equipment. He's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be there speaking, too. So
this
we got a great lineup.
Shit.
I mean, it's going to be a good, fun, eventful weekend. We got a lot of things planned. Like I said, you know, for different prices of the tickets, for the most expensive ticket is $100, and you get an 8-hour investigation, 2 days of conferences and dinner both days with all the celebrity guests for $100.
Can't beat that.
That's awesome, John Brightman.
That's really good.
I'm coming.
We wanted to keep it low, keep it cost, you know, the cost down so people could afford to come and enjoy themselves, you know, and that was our big thing. I mean, we're also offering just conference tickets to both days for $30 and conference tickets for both days and dinner both days for $50.
Sweet.
So, I mean, there's three different ways people can get tickets to make it affordable for them.
And what's the address? Where can they find information on this online?
They can go right to my website, anyparanormalresearch.com. Just look for the conference and investigation page. That gives you all the information about what's going to be talked about, who's there, the hotel that you can rent if you're coming from out of town, and the discount that we have. And it also tells you where the lectures are going to be, the times, and all that right on that page.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, John Brightman, obviously it sounds like, you know, an incredible event, definitely worthwhile. I'm telling you what, if you have a second one, which it very well sounds like you will, please consider having us down there. Beyond Ghosts would love to be part of your event next year, brother.
Oh, we would love to have it, and we actually have something in the works for hopefully August. We're
going
to try and put one on at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Okay.
When?
We would love to have you guys out there. I don't know how long of a ride that is for you, but...
Okay,
hold your roll there, John.
Yeah, I got to tell you one thing, just so you know, August 28th, 2010?
Yep.
We actually have an event Beyond Ghosts at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Really?
So, hey, if you're going to be down there, pal, come on, let's work something out, brother.
Make it that weekend,
absolutely.
We can hang out.
I mean, let's try and work something out, and
seriously,
definitely, because like I said, we were just throwing it in the air about August, and because we're excited about this event. It's going good.
This is
going
to be great, man.
You know, so we definitely want to keep doing this, getting it out there, and not doing it like a lot of other people do it, you know.
Right, exactly.
To try and keep these high prices, put so much money in their pocket that people can't afford to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Otherwise, we could shoot for maybe having you guys come up here in August, and we could try to put one together at Rolling Hills.
Absolutely. That would be awesome, too. That would be great to do one there. Like I said, I've heard great stuff about the place.
Beautiful folks.
I heard it just got reopened with new owners.
Great
so
people.
So we would love to get up there and do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell you what, we're going to talk to you off the air, but we're actually going to have to wind it out for the top of the hour. John Brightman, I wanted to thank you so, so much for coming on. And your group, New England Paranormal Research, fantastic group. This event next week is going to be great. And, John, thanks for coming on. We're going to talk to you in a minute, so thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. It was a pleasure.
Our pleasure, my friend. Don't hang up, though. We're going to talk to you when we come back from the break. So we're just taking a fast break, okay?
No problem.
Hold that line, John Brightman. Thank you so much, sir. So, folks at home, this is Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal. And catch you in a minute there, babies. Be careful, because Chef Chick's standing right friggin' behind you.
You just seen the pictures from Dingus Day.
What's up? Welcome back to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. And now, John Crescito has the pleasure of announcing tonight's singer for the ever-popular musical segment unique to this radio show. You know we're talking about That's the Name of That Tune. We're at that point now of the show. So without further ado, please allow me to introduce a great band out of my hometown, NYC. We're talking New York City. That's right, the name of the band is Brother Love, and Brother Love put out a great tune a few years back called Summertime. It's a light song, it's a fun song. We're going to kind of round out a great show tonight with this great tune by Brother Love. More information about Brother Love, heck yeah, you want to know where to find it, go to brotherloverocks.com. And great band, like I said, New York City into his house. And as always, thank you so much for our musical sponsor, week in, week out. We're talking the PodSafe Music Network, and they're found at musicalley.com. Thank you, Mevio. That's right, Mevio.com. Check it all out. Let us know what's going down. And without further ado, babies, here's Brother Love, their great tune, Summertime, here on Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. What a show. All right. Thank you, Brother Love. Fantastic tune on that. That's the name of that tune. We're talking Summertime. And now that's going to bring this episode of Beyond Ghost to a close. We're rounding out the show for April 13, 2010. Once again, I want to say thank you so much to Mr. John Brightman from New England Paranormal Research. He was our guest, of course. And they have a great event coming up next weekend. Please check it out, folks. Go check out their site, New England Paranormal Research, and tell them that John Crescito on Beyond Ghost said hello. So that being said, we're Complecto for this week, and coming up next week, we're going to be talking to an interesting guy. He is a cryptozoologist and paranormal researcher out of Kentucky. We'll be talking to Mr. Ron Coffey on the next episode of Beyond Ghosts, and in the meantime, folks, summertime is coming, as Brubba Love was singing about, summertime. And speaking of summertime, a lot of people like to pack the car, hit the road, and get out there and actually do stuff and enjoy the weather, enjoy the time off. And, of course, Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal, go to our website, beyondghosts.com. We have a chock-a-block full slate of events and programs aimed at getting you people off the sidelines, out with us investigating haunted places across the country. So please check out our events page on beyondghosts.com. And see you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Love each and every one of you. The sky is the limit. Next week, Ron Coffey's hanging out with us, talking about cryptids of Kentucky and beyond, of course. So, Chabela!
And if you don't feel anything, that's fine too.
That's cool in the game with us.